Well, as Brother Ziegler would say, thank you, fellas, for that good song. Amen. He always brags on you like he never hears a bad one. So that's good. Well, I've been pulled out of the mothballs of retirement. So am I leaving anything off that needs to be mentioned? I heard somebody say one time, I never did read in the Bible about retirement. And they're intelligent, above average. And I'm sure they have read it. They just never did make the connection on it. But in Numbers, the 4th chapter, it's mentioned, retirement's mentioned 4 times, and there's other scriptures as well. And in the light of that, did you ever wonder why Jesus waited until he was 30 years old to begin his ministry? Well, in that chapter, it might throw a little bit of light on that. And I found a good text that I'm not going to preach from, but it's in Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 32nd verse. It said, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary hair, honor the face of the old man, and fear the God, thy God. I am thy Lord." So I just throw that in for extra. Sad to say, though, there's seem like few less things going for you as a senior citizen than there is otherwise, but you get a break once in a while. That's good. And the Lord, he's helping you there. Amen. Well, found in 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, read a little bit about Elijah and Elisha. I may skip some of it here just for sake of time. I don't want to. I was to preach over, you set those ovens like Brother Ziegler made mention. You set them to go off early, and then I preach a long time and go home to a burnt dinner. When I was a young boy, we lived in the country, and Mom had put on a chicken. I don't know, and not frying, I guess to boil. And if I remember right, she had invited the preacher home with us that day for dinner. That thing had boiled dry and burnt and scorched. And if you know anything about what burnt chicken smells like, filling the house. Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, as women can do, she whipped up something else, found something else to do. Well, we always had a lot of faith and confidence in our moms, didn't we? I was somewhere one time, and a fellow was bragging on his mom, and he pointed there to a attaché case or something the fellow had. Why, he said, "Mom could fix something good to eat out of that thing." So, I don't know. My mind run back to, and now time hadn't started yet. I haven't started preaching, so don't. Mine run back to, for some reason, I guess I was thinking about dry sermons, dry preaching, you know. Brother Bob Knuckles, he used to pastor down here at Milltown and back down in Tennessee. He said years ago he was where he was pastoring, had a church, and there was wings that went out here on the sides at the front. And he said it was dry. And he was laboring, trying to preach. But he said as he progressed in his message, things began to perk up a little bit. And he said he began to slap the pulpit on the side. As he began to gain a little momentum and a little fire, he began to slap the pulpit, and he kept that up. And he said there was an old gentleman over here in his 90s that had gone to sleep. And him was slapping on that pulpit. He said the old fella jumped up, run out here into the middle, and said, "Mary, somebody's at the door." He embarrassed the poor old fella, and he apologized, but, you know. A lot of interesting things happen in church. A lot of folk miss a lot of things. And I don't say this, and I don't think it will embarrass Denise. But you remember when you used to sit over here, either where Warren or Jonathan sits, and I made some mention about standing, and you was a pretty good-sized kid, and up you went and stood there for a while. Do you remember that? You do? Okay. It made me think back when Daniel Stafford was preaching somewhere, I guess, in revival. And, you know, in his message, and he come across and he said, "At the judgment we shall all stand." And about half the congregation stood up. And he lost his thunder right there, so he just had the rest of them to stand and dismiss them. What could you do? One more thing, and then we'll get more serious. I'm sure it didn't happen, but it sure illustrates a good point. And it was a dead service, and the preacher was so monotonous. Oh, my goodness. Just droning on and on. And this auctioneer, he just got so weary and so beside himself, he reached in his side pocket and pulled out that gavel. And he cut down on the preacher with that thing. But he hit somebody up here on the front seat, toward the front in the back of the hedge, you know. And the old fella just slumped over. He said, "Hit me again, I can still hear him." So there's no auctioneers in the crowd, but you may pull a boot off or something else, you know. Ronnie got me tickled. Oh, my. Okay. It's 11. About a minute to 11, and so I'll clock in. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said unto him, 'As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.'" Excuse me. So they went down to Bethel. "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Well, verse 4 talks about, he said, I've got to go to Jericho. And then the prophets came out there from the school and told him the same thing. And then verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went out and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Then dropping down in verse 11, it said, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege this morning to be your child. We thank you for the way of holiness, for the way of God. We're glad for salvation and everything that you've done to try to encourage us and help us to make it to heaven. Would you anoint us one more time and touch us with thy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to point out a few, these four memorials of Israel: Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, Jordan. The old prophet was just about on his way home. He had gone through a lot. And you remember how he faced those 850 prophets of Baal up there and offered the sacrifice, and the fire came. God vindicated his name and honored the prophet. And you would think that a great revival was breaking out, but it seemed like they acknowledged that it was God and acknowledged that God had answered by fire, but it didn't really change things around. And old King Ahab was still on the throne, and Jezebel. And, she was after him. And I believe that the prophet may have prayed and said, Lord, it'd just be better if I was dead. I don't know if you ever prayed that kind of prayer or not. I've been hesitant to pray that because I'd be afraid the Lord would take me up on it. But he merely meant it, and he wanted to leave this world. And so the Lord said, okay, there's a couple of things I need you to do. And one of them is to contact Elisha. Let him take your place. And so now we come down to the time when he's going to leave. And so they were at Gilgal. I don't know if Elijah lived at Gilgal, but at least that's where they were at. And this was the first site of the camp in Canaan once the children of Israel got over into Canaan. And I believe there were some things that Elijah wanted to emphasize to Elisha at this time and before he went, and one of the reasons that he was making the circle that he was making. There's some things this morning that we need to emphasize. There's some things that we can't, you know. I heard of one woman and she said, well, it just, you know, preach holiness and I don't know what else. Well, that's our message and that's our song, and we're not ashamed of it this morning. And we're God's people and we're holiness people, and we have a testimony to give before the world. So I believe there were some things that he wanted to emphasize. And if you remember, they set up 12 stones whenever they came up out of Jordan. And that was at Gilgal here. I believe they gathered them around where the feet of the priests were at. They said, God said, and Moses instructed them, take up 12 stones out of the bottom of the river of Jordan. I don't know how big, but probably some of those strong fellows heaved up some pretty good sized stones. And while the waters were parted and they were going over on dry ground, gathering up those 12 stones, once they got them out on the other side, they piled them up. And the reason for that was as a testimony to their children and to any others that might ask, what in the world is this pile of stones? Well, this is where God brought us through the wilderness and across Jordan. And these are testimonies of the fact that we've been through Jordan and testifying to the faithfulness of God. Well, this is where they had the first Passover in Canaan. Now, I don't know why, but that old crowd, I know why they died off. They were unbelievers. Are you a believer this morning? I am too. Praise God. And if I'm going to doubt, I'm going to doubt my doubts. But I'm not going to doubt the Lord. And so that bunch of unbelievers, whenever, you know, Joshua and Caleb was two faithfuls that testified and said, we're well able, we can go over, we can take it. And that other 10, they said, oh my goodness, we're just like grasshoppers, just giants in the land. Well, there was. And walls that we couldn't get to, we couldn't penetrate. And there was. But they were forgetting God and the faithfulness and the power of Almighty God that could deliver them and help them to possess the land of Canaan. So they had neglected the rite of circumcision. And so here the younger generation, and so they enacted that. And that was a type of cleansing. And God said, I'm rolling off of you the reproach of Egypt. You know, you can't blame the world for looking like the world. I mean, you know, if I was a sinner, I'm sure I'd look like one. And I'd be one. But I have no desire to look that way. But God said, I'm going to roll off the reproach of Egypt from off of you. I was reading just last night or this morning God's word where he said not to make any writing on your bodies. Now, if you don't have a tattoo in this day and age, you're just not in it. That's all there is to it. And they're proud of them. I mean, they you know, just mark themselves all up whatsoever. And I wouldn't want that, would you? And then I see a lot of stuff hanging around on them. I thought about Warren Wilburn. He said, you know, with all them things in their lips and maybe nose, but he said, why in the world would anybody want to go around looking like they'd fell face first right down in a tackle box? Well, I don't know why they do, but we're God's people. We're Christians. We're holiness people. We've stripped off for the race, praise God. And we're not ashamed of it this morning. I do trust we still testify, we still praise the Lord, we still live the life that he'd have us to live. Well, Elijah said, you know, I'm not going to tarry here. I've got to go to Bethel. And you stay here, Elijah. But he said, oh, no, as the Lord lives, why, I'm going to go right with you. I'm going to stick with you. And so on their way to Bethel, they went. And you know, I read that last verse, and it said, as they went, they talked. They had a lot to talk about. Talking about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the history of Israel back over the way. Women have probably got us beat in this a little bit, but I tell you, men run a close second, don't they? get them together and get them to talk, and they can. Well, he said, I'm going to Bethel. Now, Bethel, the interpretation or the meaning of Bethel is the house of God. And I think the first reference we have to Bethel was poor old Jacob. He was a fast one. He was a dealer. He'd got things going his way, and he'd cheated Esau out of the birthright, and Esau just couldn't get over that. And he thought, you know, one of these days there'll come a reckoning time, and I'll get even with Jacob and his mother. Jacob's mother, Rebekah, she realized that the atmosphere wasn't just always. And she said, you know, son, you better head on back over to where I came from and get your wife over there. But on his way, while he was traveling, you know, you can't outrun God and you can't get away from the presence of God. And he got out there that first night, made good progress that day, and got him a stone for a pillow and got everything as comfortable. And that does sound so comfortable. As long as I got any intelligence left, I'll never forget what Warren's mother said. If I wanted to suffer, I'd go to horse camp. Well, we thought we was having fun. We thought we was really enjoying it. She couldn't see any whatsoever of it. And our good brother Moore, he spent a night over there in a tent, and there was some of them that was drinking and running in and out. And I don't think he slept a bit. And he said, that's the last time that I'll be staying in a tent. Well, Jacob didn't have a tent, but he had a stone, I believe. Doesn't it say he had a stone for a pillow? Am I right? Okay. When you get my age, you may get things tangled. And Big Ray Smith, he said, you know, whenever you get to preaching and get to maybe using your imagination some, and he said, you know, folk that don't read their Bible, they don't care. And folk that do read their Bible, they know the difference. If you get a little bit off anyway, they know the difference because they read your Bible. Folk that don't read it, it don't matter to them. You preach what you want to. Okay. You read yours, don't you? I hope you read all that you turn in. When I was a kid, I was like Kimberly here. I was raised a Baptist. And he made old brother Montgomery was their pastor, and he made a circuit, maybe come around just once a month or something to some of these little churches. And so where he was staying, when he'd go there, they'd talk about how much they read the Bible and enjoyed the Bible and everything. And they had a washstand, and they had a comb laying there. And one day when he was there, after he'd washed his hands, he just picked up their comb and took it over and stuck it in the Bible and closed it down. And then the next time he come around on the circuit, they said, you know, we haven't been able to find our comb since you was here before. Well, some things give us away. Bethel, the house of God. Bethel, it was 12 miles north of Jerusalem. This is where God visited Jacob, and he saw the ladder coming down and the angels. That would have been something to behold. In troubled times, Israel, in trying to seek God, they'd go to Bethel. Do you ever feel like sometimes you'd just do whatever you could to get in the presence of God? You get to the Sunday morning prayer meeting, and I don't. I'm asleep. Wilbur, and he said, you know, his wife gets up early in the morning, has devotions, and I do too sometimes. And he said his wife told him, said, you ought to try that. Seems like God's, he said he did try it. And he said something. He didn't know what it was, but said, spoke to him and said, just going back to bed. I'll talk to you later. Well, folk trying to find God, and Israel trying to find God, and so they went to Bethel. There was evidently an altar somebody had established at Bethel. If I can get to Bethel, that's the house of God. I can make contact. I can pray through. I can get to God. Now, it may be the old apple tree out behind the house with you. Or it may be the back bedroom, or maybe out at the barn. But there ought to be a special place somewhere where we could pray and pray through and touch God. And God touches us. And we can unload our burdens and our cares and forget all about it and put it over on Him. Praise God. Well, the sons of the prophets. Oh my. 16 minutes. The sons of the prophets, they had a school at Bethel. Now there was something else that was interesting about Bethel. You can look it up if I'm wrong. But Jeroboam had, when he was in reign, had established a couple golden calves so that to try to keep the Israelites from going over into Jerusalem to worship. And this was one of the places that he put one. Now, that isn't it strange that the devil, the house of God, and where people would come to seek God, and then the devil would see that one of these idols was placed up. And so there was idol worshipers there aplenty. But there was also this holding this school, training these young prophets so that they could prophesy in the name of the Lord. Now, nothing happened whenever they went through there, but whenever they came back through there, no, they didn't come back. Elijah went to heaven. Elisha came back. And that's where those little children came out and said, go up. You bald head, go on up. They was out there making fun. But they was making fun of the prophet. They was making fun of Elijah. And they knew that he'd gone up to heaven. They was making fun of God. And so the Lord sent two she-bears out that killed 42 of those children. Children of those idol worshipers. Children that their parents had said, make fun of the prophet. We don't want them here. We wish they didn't have their school here. Make fun of the old prophet Elisha now. And I was reading this last week somewhere in something the Lord was pretty dissatisfied about, and he sent lions among them. He has all power. He knows how to protect us, how to keep us. Praise God. Well, the prophet Elijah said, I'll go on to Jericho. Now, Jericho was an important place, and you remember how they marched around the wall, and I could hear these two prophets encouraging one another and talking about the time back there, the Battle of Jericho, and how they marched around the wall, and how God put the walls right down on their face, and how that Rahab was spared. And there was just a lot they could talk about in old Jericho. You know, our battles, it's impossible to have victories without battles. I wish it wasn't that way, don't you? I just want it to be victory all the way. But we've got to have the battles to have the victories. We have to be put on display before the world. And they see us going through the fire and going through the test. They see that our families pass away. We face death. We face sickness. We face reverses. And God is able to maintain us and sustain us and keep us all the way through it. Praise God. Well, Jericho meant place of fragrance. That's where the two spies were sent out. Remember that, Elijah? That's where the two spies went, and Rahab hid them and got them over the wall and sent them away. That was 5 miles west of Jordan, where the walls was brought down. Then he said, one more place, Elisha, I've got to make here before the Lord takes me. I've got to go to Jordan. That meant something. That was a dividing line. And you crossed over Jordan into Canaan. Get over out of the wilderness and out of the saved experience into the experience of heart wholeness and sanctification. It'll mean something to you too. Praise God. Somebody wrote a song, wasn't it? I want to go to heaven when I die, just to hear old Jordan roll. How silly can you get? That's not why I'm going to heaven. I don't care if I ever see Jordan. Spiritually, I've crossed it, and it's back behind me. I'm not going on the other side. Well, they camped here 3 days, and I mentioned about the stones that they took out, how that they could testify to the faithfulness of God. And God seems to delight sometimes to prove himself strong. And whenever the Israelites came up there, it was the time of the flooding of Jordan. Oh my, of all times to expect to get across whenever that thing was spread out. And that didn't matter to the Lord. Whenever those priests walked up there and the soles of their feet hit the water and the water parted. Well, whenever Elijah and Elisha got there, why, Elijah took his mantle. That's a pretty good mantle right there, isn't it? And he smote the water and they parted. And whenever he got over there and the chariot of fire came and parted those fellows asunder, but he saw his master go, and, well, I don't know all that took place. The scripture said that whenever he left, he said, you know, my father, and he was somewhat upset, and it said he tore his clothes. Now, whether he tore up his mantle, I don't know, but he picked up Elijah's and carried that back. If I remember the story right, there was 12 stones that was carried out into the middle of Jordan. Not only the 12 that was carried out, but there was 12 stones carried out into the middle of Jordan and piled up there so that they could point to their children and say, look at the faithfulness of God, how he brought us over Jordan, even when this thing was flooding. Serve a mighty God. Well, Elisha got back. Those school of the prophets, they were out there in all eyes, taking on what was going on. He took the mantle of Elijah and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters parted. He went over on dry ground. I've never had the waters parted, but he has done some things. Praise God. I have a book in my study that a lawyer wrote about the life of John T. Hatfield. Now, I've read 33 years of Live Wire and the wonderful things that God done for Hatfield. But he didn't put in there what this lawyer did. This lawyer said Hatfield in his young days taught a Sunday school class, and he said, you know, if they had the faith, they could walk on water just like Peter did. And so he took them out to the creek And they, different ones of them, tried it and come up wet. And so then he proceeded to show them how it worked when you had the faith. And he come up just as wet as they did. But it worked for Elijah. Might work for you. You want to try it? Let's stand. Our good brother Ken White dismisses with prayer, please.